Well, it's important this time of year that amidst all of the craziness of Christmas, that we, of course, remember the real reason for Christmas, which is the birth of our Saviour Jesus. And with his birth, the whole course of history of humanity was forever changed. And I've titled my message to you today, So Blessed. Can you turn to the person next to you and say, I am so blessed. You know, there's no other more appropriate title that I could use, because we are so blessed that he came, that he was born, and we celebrate that. And he came with the sole purpose of dying for the sins of all mankind. And when I think about, for me, the transforming love of my Saviour that dominates and rules every day of my life deep within me, there's this response that comes out of my heart. I don't know about you, but it's, I am so blessed. I am so blessed because Jesus was born and came with a single purpose of dying for you and for me. But, you know, it would be naive of me this morning to not be aware that for many of you, this time of year can conjure up all sorts of mixed feelings, emotions. It may not necessarily have been a particularly happy time of year. Some of you have memories from childhood that don't bring up great memories. And I want to acknowledge that today as one of your pastors. And so with this in mind, I want to read to you the lyrics of this old hymn today. I would be very surprised if at least you haven't heard it once before. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. And, of course, the chorus is, count your blessings. You can say it with me if you'd like to. Name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. And the final verse says this, so amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Amen? Count your many blessings. Angels will attend. Help and comfort give you till your journey's end. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. So Johnson Oatman wrote this very same famous old hymn in the 1800s, which explains why the language for us may seem a little out of date to the modern lyrics that we are used to. But contained within this very, very old hymn, there is a key for our lives contained in the lyrics. Now, every one of us can relate to some of the themes that have been mentioned here in this song called Count Your Blessings. For example, like being discouraged. Anyone ever experienced discouragement? thinking all is lost? Anyone thought things are so hopeless that all is lost? Anyone had storms of life that feel like you're completely out of control? Anybody had cares that weigh us down and cause us to doubt our faith in God? Well, you know, this hymn speaks of eternal blessings over the wealth of the rich and of where our treasure can really be found as followers of Jesus. But sometimes in the culture of our world, for example, today is Boxing Day and everybody's thinking about Boxing Day sales. That's the truth, yeah? And thank you, Adrian. I know where you're going afterwards. And, you know, Carousel, yes. I knew you were going to Carousel. Thank you. But the resounding theme is the way to counteract all of life's storms and challenges and to count all of our blessings. And another way of possibly saying this that you may have heard is to have an attitude of gratitude. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 27, Paul, we find the Apostle Paul, who had a very, very cutting edge kind of Christianity. And in chapter 27, Paul is being transported as a prisoner on a ship when a violent storm threatens to sink the ship. But God encourages Paul, letting him know that no one on the ship will die. That yes, there'll be a shipwreck, but nobody will lose their life. Paul passes on that encouragement all over to the people on the ship, and everyone gets safely to shore. A lot of you, particularly if you've been listening into our Boost series in Acts, will remember this particular account. And I'm actually going to read it to you from Acts 27, verse 21 to 26. Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. This is Paul speaking. You would have avoided all this damage and loss, but take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, "Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God. It will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island." And I love the way that, first of all, there's a couple of things I notice about this particular passage of scripture. The first one is that whenever we're going through a storm, God is with us and he sends somebody or something through his word, through a person, through an angel in this case, to help us, to strengthen us, to comfort us when we're going through the storm. But you notice that he didn't stop the storm from happening. In fact, he prepared Paul and said, "You will actually suffer a shipwreck, but don't worry, no one will die." And you know, sometimes in our humanity, what we want to do is we want God to actually take us out of the storm, get us out. But God is saying to us this morning, "No, I'll come with you through your storm." Yeah? I'll make a way for you through your storm. Amen? So this morning, think of it like this. We have two trains travelling daily on two separate tracks. The first train is on a track. There's the two tracks. Dealing with all the storms of life, the problems, the cares, the heartaches, the tragedies that come along throughout our lives, the things that we didn't see coming. Then right alongside on a parallel track is the second train on a track, and this track, on this train, is full of all of God's blessings, all of God's supernatural joy and provisions that he willingly and daily deposits into our lives. Now, here's Here's the thing that we can struggle with. These two train lines coexist at exactly the same time. And there is a contradiction, as it were, that can cause such tension in our everyday world, because we can feel like they should be independently working, but they're both together at the same time. Blessings and trials, favour and cares of this life, yeah? But in the plans and economy of God, they coexist through all of our lives in some form, and both are at work right now in your life and mine. Yes? And they can be very powerful. Both of them can be very powerful. And that's why our response to them is so crucial. And I want to elaborate on that for you this morning. Now, this is no surprise to you that Scripture tells us very clearly that in this life we will have trouble. But don't be afraid, don't be overwhelmed, because I have overcome every trial, every test through Jesus dying on the cross for you and I. He's got you covered this morning, Real Life Church. He's never overwhelmed. He's never surprised. He's always got a good plan. He's always actively caring for everything that concerns you, even though at times it feels like he's silent, like he's distant. John 16:33, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome this world. The truth is that when those trials and those tests come, we're so quick to question the blessings and the goodness of God. Why has God let me down? Why has God forsaken me? Why does everyone else prosper in their life but not me? Why does this always happen to me? Now, I know none of you in this room say that. It's the people that haven't come to church this morning that say that. I realise that. But on and on and on it goes. We have this self-doubt and insecurities that kick in big time. And we can find ourselves, if we don't guard our hearts and our minds, we can find ourselves so full of fear. Now, we know that fear is not from God. And in Timothy, it tells us that God has not given us, as his children, a spirit of fear, but of, come on, say it with me, love, power, and a sound mind. So what do we do to replace all of these earthly fears with this spirit of faith, love, power, and a peaceful, hope-filled way of thinking? Because you realise that we're in charge of our minds and what our minds hear and what we look at, that God has actually given us not just, not just given us a body and a spirit, but he's given us a brain and a choice. And so we're responsible for what we take in. Well, Johnson Oatman in this hymn has given us this key. It says, we replace our fears, it's to say we have them, yeah, they're there, they're present, and they can take over sometimes, the what ifs of life. What if that happens and what if that happens? And sometimes we go to places in our heart and our mind that never happen, but we can spend a lot of time fearing them. And so it says in this famous hymn that we start to focus and choose to think about how blessed we are. We do exactly what the hymn says, and we start to call to our remembrance all of the things in our life that are a blessing, from the very smallest to the very greatest. Now, it's interesting because just even over the last couple of weeks, I've had people just in conversation telling me the most incredible stories from their life about blessings that they've received even as children. In fact, Jesse and I were talking probably about a week or so ago, and Jesse was telling me that when she was a small child, seven, you can get the whole story from Jesse. I'm going to give you the small version. That her and her family, brought up in India, big family, were very, very hungry. They had no food. The whole family was starving. And she was out on the street and she cried out to God and said, God, if you're real, send some help to my family. And she saw a figure in the sky, like, was it a bird, Jesse? Like a piece of paper. And then what happened was, moments later, there was a note of money, 100 rupees, which apparently is about $1,000. Yeah? So she was able to take that $1,000 that she found on the ground, a 7-year-old child. The Bible talks about childlike faith. She was able to take that money, take it to her mum, and that fed her family for 1 week. Yeah? Yeah, amen. And so now that was just in the course of the last week, and I'm not quite sure how we even got to that conversation. But, you know, as Jesse was just telling me, recounting that miracle, that provision, that blessing, so something inside of me started to rise. Faith started to rise in my heart. I thought, well, if God can do that for Jesse as a 7-year-old child, he can do that here, and he can do that for this person and for Marika, and he can do it for Crystal, and he can do it for so many of us in our circumstance. As he has done it before, so he will do it again. Amen, Glennis? Hallelujah. Amen. And so, you know, some people actually have a grateful journal and they write down what they're thankful for every day. You might relate to that and think, actually, that's a really good idea. I could see myself doing that. But all through Scripture, we are encouraged to be thankful and give praise because we are so blessed. And here are just a few of the many scriptures on thankfulness. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 says, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 103, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins, heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. Psalm 28, the Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me and my heart is filled with joy. Can you feel your faith rising? Yeah, as I'm speaking this and declaring this. I burst out in a song of thanksgiving. Psalm 34, one of my favourites. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. Now listen to this, those of you who are going through a storm right now. In my desperation I prayed and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Amen? Yeah. Come on, that deserves a praise, a huge praise. Amen. You know, we can picture these two railway tracks right alongside each other. Everyone got a picture? Yeah? And we can choose to dwell and live on the track where our focus is always about our troubles and trials. We wake up thinking about them. We go to bed thinking about them. They're the main point of our conversations all through the day. And we can be fearful on a daily basis of what is going to happen to us, the what ifs. Or we can choose to dwell and live on the track that focuses on being so blessed in every season and circumstance that we're in. You know, in a year like we've just had, we've got to go after this. We've got to pursue the peace of God ruling and reigning in our hearts. There's been huge upheavals in our world since COVID, and therefore our resolve like never before needs to be to seek peace. Yeah? In our hearts, in our minds, and in our relationships with each other. Yeah? Do you know what? I want to be in such good relationship with you this whole of this year and next year and the year after and for eternity. I want to have such a great, healthy relationship with you. I don't want anyone to rob me of that. Yeah? And my relationship, my friendship, my fellowship with you is far more important to me than any one thing that we may disagree on. Yeah? And I am going after that. I'm seeking peace in all my relationships. Can I suggest this morning that we do a quick little inventory of our conversations? Maybe we need a bit of an adjustment. How much of our time do we speak about all of the trials, the challenges, complaining maybe about all the negativity that's going on in our world? But rather than engaging with our friends, our families, our neighbours in relationship, that we're in relationship with, by making sure that we have really healthy, uplifting, encouraging, godly conversations. When I walk into a room, any room throughout my day, I want my conversation to be such that when I leave that room, long after I've gone, that people are encouraged and built up from chatting to me. I want people, after they've had a chat with me, to feel like I can do all things through Christ, who gives me his strength. I want to be one that shares stories and testimonies, just as like Jesse did with me, of how God has come through for me, not just now, but miracles of the past. And I want to talk about the wonderful provision and the faithfulness that I have seen so many times in my own life and in so many stories of your stories that I've heard. And, you know, I want to be very gut-level honest with you this morning and say I don't always achieve that. Sometimes I can be on the other train track, yeah, without even realising it on a bad day. But I want to keep going after that. I want to keep trying to attain to that goal. So I want to leave you this morning with an analogy. Yesterday was Christmas Day, and for Christmas, Rod, my husband, gave me this bottle of perfume. It's called Beautiful, and it's by Estee Lauder. My daughter Nat gave me this bottle of perfume for Christmas. It's called White Linen, and it's also by Estee Lauder, and it's the spring fragrance. That's not a hint to any of you, by the way. Now, for those people who know me really well, they have said to me over the years, because I've worn these two fragrances since, say, my early 20s, for a couple of reasons. One, because I can only wear a certain perfumes that don't give me a headache. These are the ones that I have been able to wear. But for people who have known me for a very long time, they've said to me, you know, Beth, when I always know when you're near because I can smell this smell that is just so familiar to me that you wear. Well, can I say to you this morning that in the same way that a fragrance can influence a room by its scent, so we too, you, me, can influence a room by our presence and the attitude that we bring into the rooms of our life. Yeah? I don't know about you, but, you know, sometimes I chat with people and who are on the train line that dwells on the trials and the testings and the storms of life, rather than on the other parallel train line that thinks about and dwells on the fact that we are so blessed. And can I ask you honestly this morning, who would you rather hang out with? A person who encourages your faith by their stories of God's blessings and provision in their life? And more importantly, and I don't need an answer to this, this is just to provoke thought. How do you feel after you've been with a negative person who lives on the other train track, always focusing in on the fears and the worries and the cares and the trials and the storms? Doesn't mean that we shouldn't talk about those, because we're to encourage one another in the Lord. And it's okay for us to talk about the stuff we're going through, but our focus needs to always be looking up to what God is able to do in our circumstance. You know, when I'm with a person who is telling me stories of God's faithfulness, provision and blessing, and recalling how God has come through for them time and time again, what starts to happen within my spirit is that the spirit part of me rises up. And I say to myself, you know, if God can do that for a seven-year-old girl who cries out to God, if he's real, to provide food for her family, then he can do it for me in my circumstances, in my trials, in my impossible circumstances that seem like there's no way God can come through. And I want to speak prophetically to those of you this morning who have impossible circumstances going on right now. There is no way on the planet you can see any of your circumstance changing if you look at it in a natural perspective. But I want to speak to you prophetically and say that you are not depending on the natural, but you have given your life to a supernatural God who operates on a completely different level and realm. And he says to you this morning that he is saying over your life that what you've said is impossible is possible with him, that all things are possible to those who believe. And so I want to speak the word of faith over you, over your circumstance, Father, right now. And for those who have joined us online at home, we want to speak and declare the supernatural power of God over every trial, over every impossibility this morning. In Jesus' name, we look to those things, Father God, and speak those things that are not as though they were. We declare to every mountain, it shall be moved in the name of Jesus and with the blood of Jesus. Amen. And just like he did for the Apostle Paul when he sent an angelic messenger to speak to him in his storm, Paul was able, because it's not just about us, it's not just about me. Paul had this visitation, this angelic visitation, to speak to him in his storm, but then he was able to go and he was able to comfort and bring peace to all the people in the boat. Yeah? It's the power of influence, your influence, my influence. And I know that there are those of you who are smack bang in the middle of a trial and storm. And I want to say to you this morning that you are not alone, that Jesus is actively at work caring for you and working on your behalf to bring about an all things working together outcome over your life. He loves you. He sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you. And right now, he is wanting to bless your life. He wants to help you through your storm and bring you safely to the other side. Maybe today as we leave, we can make a deliberate effort, so much so that it just becomes so normal and natural, to start every conversation that we have with, "I am so blessed because," "I am so blessed because," 1, 2, 3, and so it goes on. So much so that, like that hymn says, you can't count your blessings. There's so many of them. Well, right now I would like to say farewell to our online church family. Thank you for joining us today. And God bless you and your family over this Christmas season and into 2022.